Hey Warren, how you doing?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Hey Johnny.
Ah, hello.
Johnny and Warren are the founders and the owners of Wave. My bosses, my mates, it's very rarely I call them my bosses, but I just say some of the work that they've worked on. Volvo Twister, Levi Spaceman, PlayStation Mountain, Dunlop, Blackcurrant Tango, Surfer, Honda Grr, Honda Cog, John West Salmon. I could probably go on, but I'd probably be here all day.
God bless you, pal. Ten is in the post.
Sounds pretty good.
Not a bad list, is it? I've got a funny story, actually, from when we first started. And obviously, we've known each other for nearly probably 22 years now. My job interview was in the coffee house, and I'll never forget these three things that happened. So we sat down, we ordered a pint. Their first thing was their pay offer, which I was really excited about because I thought, bloody hell, they're about to offer me a load of money. We can't offer you any more money. We're going to pay you the same money. That was your first thing.
Bargain.
I thought, right, so I said, okay, all right, I could probably live with that. What's my new studio going to look like? And they went, you haven't got a new studio. You haven't got a studio. You're going to be our assistant. And I thought, fucking hell, they're really selling it to me here. And then my third question was, well, this is quite a big risk. What's going to happen if this doesn't work out? And I remember Warren saying to me, we're all going to be unemployed. And I think at that point, we all shook hands and went, all right.
Jumped in.
Listen, if you actually think about what Parv's just said for his last three statements, plus the fact he's wearing a pink bunny costume, it does kind of let you know his mental frame of mind at that point.
So yeah, and then everything else, as they say, is history.
So one, I've got a couple of questions around that. How did you get together with Johnny and Warren for the beginning of your story? But also, secondly, is when you were being interviewed, how many people were at Wave?
No one.
So what, it was just you two, a 10 and whatever. What was your status at the time?
We kind of we were talking sort of to a girl we used to work with at the Tate Gallery. He worked in accounts, but Parv was pretty much number one. So
So how do you heard of Parv then? What was your relationship with Parv?
Parv says he's known us for 22 years. That's not strictly true. We actually know Parv a lot longer than that because I think since the day he started at Grand Central, it's quite a small world. You kind of know everyone anyway. And winding the clock back to the 90s, we knew Parv from Soho and when he worked at Grand Central. So we knew his reputation, what he did, all the rest of it. So we did know Parv before then. We've been good at spotting talent at Wave. I think that's there's not many things we do well, but that's definitely one of them. Seeing talent, gifted youngsters come in, pushing them, you know, teaching them, making them the best they can be. It was pretty obvious from very early days, well pre-Wave, that Parv was going to be shining light. He was our number one signing, you know.
One last question on Wave, and we move. But so, and where was you? Where did you first all sit? Where was your first location where the three of you were sitting, waiting for work to come in?
It was Glassworks, wasn't it, for Surfer?
Yeah. Warren and I left the Tate Gallery, and then we had 6 months of looking for a premises, and then 3 or 4 months of building it. And before the building period finished, again, Jonathan Glazer called me up and said, "I've got this amazing ad that you might want to do. Have you started your company yet?" And this That's was Skinner Surfer. Oh. And I said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Well, you bloody want to." And obviously Tom and Walt, who were an enormous part of the success of Wave, Tom Carty and Walt Campbell, they said, "Yes, you have to get involved in this." And Hector McLeod, who ran Glassworks next door to us, had said to us when we sort of said, "We're going to be your neighbour," he said, "If you need any help, let me know." So I went round and said, "You know about that help? You don't have a spare room I can borrow, do you?" He lent us his meeting room, and that was where we did Guinness Surfer. We set up a kind of makeshift studio.
So that was so the first job you booked was Guinness Surfer.
I know. How about that? And it's been totally downhill since then. It's terrible.
How amazing!
No, yeah, it was. We were very lucky with that. It launched us nicely.
So, and then you've moved on to film.
I did. I realised that if I didn't clear the seat, then the really talented juniors would go and work somewhere else. So when was it? 2003, Jonathan Glazer was working on that film Birth that he did. And he said, "Can you come and do that? And will you come and set up a sound editing suite next to Sam Sneed's cutting room in his building in Poland Street. And I said, yeah, sure. And, you know, be there for 6 weeks or something. And about a year later, I was still there chipping away at this block of a film. But it was hard to get back into the studio then, because Aaron had done such a fantastic job of holding his own, you know, with all the clients, that I couldn't walk back in and say, can I have my room back? You know, so yeah, I then went and started doing films from that point, pretty much.
So what's the difference for the people who don't know out there between, I know that obviously films are longer than ads. That's one of the things I picked up. But what's the difference between what you do for a film and what you may do for an ad?
Well, the biggest impact on me is with a film, it sort of just comes over like a cloud and it sits on you for 6 months to a year and you think about it the whole time. Whereas with a ad, you sort of, you might be thinking about it for a week, but you basically don't take it home with you as much.
So, Dave, should I go to the
screen? I'll ask you a Lou Roll question or whatever it is you've been badgering me to move on from.
I'm sticking to the script here, Dave. So,
go on then.
Our first question is, are you both still working?
I've never been so busy with all the hassle of furlough, banking, New York, Amsterdam, London staff. How are we going to make this work? I mean, countless sleepless nights. But, yeah, I mean, give me Soho back any day.
Yeah, because the initial period, actually, of lockdown was very much Warren and I on the phone for a good few hours a day, thinking, particularly with me, thinking, oh, my God, this is the end of the thing that we built for 20 years. You know, how can we survive this? And there's been an awful lot of fretting and behind-the-scenes stuff going on, and obviously everything will be fine now. But yeah. That is a hell of a lot of work, hasn't it?
It has been intensely stressful the last 3 months. And as soon as we get out of this and start filming again and working on dubs again, and I just hope the whole planet hasn't changed as well, and people are content to like not continue to make phones with their ads with their iPhones and things like this. I mean, it's time to start writing some decent scripts now. I'm just hoping we're going to kind of burst out of this, and the ad world is going to say, right, come on. Let's make some great ads. Let's crack on. Let's do some great writing. Let's make some good films.
So have you, in this period, is there, what's been better about it for you guys?
We've spoken a lot to the staff. That's been quite good. You know, weeks drift past when you're in the office. But having been at home, although kind of you actually can't see people on a day-to-day basis, just there's a lot of phone chat that goes on, a lot of Zoom chat. I think in some weird way, it's kind of opened up all the communication. The fact that we're apart makes us communicate more. That's definitely happened a lot. I mean, yeah, I talk regularly to all the staff on the phone and on Zoom and WhatsApp and all the rest of it.
Interesting. So you've got to know more, possibly. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know,
definitely family time's a bonus. I mean, I live in Brighton, so the travel to London is can be a kind of 4-hour tax on the day. And yeah, so that has been enormous.
I mean, by this time of the year as well, I would not normally have burnt calves, but the fact we've had such a good run of weather, my head looks like a tomato. My calves are burnt. And
you know, it's funny because we've spoken to a few people in Brighton, actually. Obviously, we've spoken to Donna, and there's a few other people that we've spoken to.
Dexy's near there, isn't he? Yeah.
And the funny thing is there is a mixed bag, because some people have said, you know what, I actually really missed the commute, which I laughed at, because obviously I know, Johnny, I know that you come in from Brighton, but there's a certain mix of people that were going, I use that train time to either read a book or watch a box set of something that I was doing. So is there any part of you that misses it at all? And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to say, yes, you do, because you don't have to. But
I absolutely enormously miss the whole commute travelling into London. I'm not a very good stay-at-home person, definitely not. I put on weight as well because of my daily walk to the station and back and from Charing Cross to the office.
Yeah.
I mean, being stuck indoors is not my thing. I miss the social interaction and the faces.
For the first 5 years, I used to sit on the train at Brighton and I'd be all excited when we pulled out the station.
Oh, really?
Ooh, we're going on a train journey. And still, even at a ripe old age. But then that's kind of ended for me now. But yeah, I mean, I echo you, Warren, that I totally miss being in London and being part of a thriving business culture. But who doesn't?
We're talking about a ripe old age. Is it good to mention Johnny's 50th last week?
Wow. Was that a big, crazy Zoom call?
Yeah, it was a massive Zoom call with all sorts of, it was a sort of surprise Zoom call. I thought I was just getting my family, but there was like, I could, flicked through three galleries of people. It was amazing. People I haven't seen in a long time.
It's interesting because we spoke to Potsy beforehand and he had the same thing. He was 50 a couple of weeks ago. In fact, what was it? What did he say at the beginning of the month, Parv?
Yeah, so he was 50 on May the 3rd and his wife gave birth on May the 4th.
But the same thing, you know, it was like you're sort of alone, but there's a screen full of people. It's sort of weird, isn't it, in a way?
Not quite the same.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, I did stand in my front garden and with a bottle of champagne and a couple of neighbours and friends from the nearby area came with a glass and I put my 2 metre long arm out.
I was going to say, you normally do that without lockdown though, Johnny, to be honest, wander around your garden with a bottle of champagne. So,
boys, are you drinking more or less alcohol in this lockdown?
I'm definitely drinking more and that's saying a lot for me. The fridge has definitely got a few beers in it all the time. Yeah, I mean, when the weather's like this, you've got to just crack open a tinny, I'm afraid. That's all it is.
So how's your one day on and one day off going?
So that's gone now. It's one day on and one day on.
I never liked that old system anyway.
Yeah, although what I've started doing now is I'm trying to keep cracking my first tinny till after 1 o'clock. And I do try and stop, unlike being in London, at about 5 or 6. So it's sort of an afternoon thing.
I like the way you say you've been trying to do that. Like you've not really succeeding, but that's the goal.
Yeah.
1 o'clock is not that late, is it? It's not like
you're trying to hold off to
one, but
I can't swear by it every day.
Good intentions.
So, JB, how about you? Are you drinking more or less?
Oh, well, you'd think that without meeting Warren on a Monday afternoon for a meeting, that it would actually be considerably less. But initially it went through the roof because there wasn't much else to do. But in the last few weeks, probably month or so, I've gone on a health kick and thought, right, this needs a resting because the lockdown isn't ending. So yeah, initially the graph went way up. Now it's definitely less than before.
So Johnny, when you said earlier you'll go in the garden and crack open a bottle of champagne with the neighbours, have you met more of the neighbours in lockdown and become friendlier, or is this just you're a particularly sociable guy in a friendly community?
No, I'm not a particularly sociable guy, but I am in a friendly community, and I think it was actually more after the Thursday evening clap thing where everyone hangs around and has a chat for that. So yeah, I live quite centrally in Brighton. So normally it's not the kind of street you'd necessarily let your kid go out and play on. But yeah, definitely met more neighbours. It's you know, asking if people need help. My wife's doing helping the care home around the corner. So she posted a letter through all the neighbours' doors, seeing if anyone wanted to help contribute anything to help the carers have a nicer time or the people in the care home. So we have a stream of people bringing cakes and all sorts of stuff to the door. So. It's I've met a lot more neighbours. It's great for them.
Warren, have you done that or do you shun them?
I live in the middle of nowhere. I live in a place called Goathurst Common, which is as rural and bumblefuck as it sounds. I've got 3 or 4 houses nearby which are my neighbours, which I knew before. So if I was to go out and clap on the street for the carer, I think I'd probably get arrested.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Dave, we've been doing that introvert and extrovert thing. If I was to describe Warren, I would say an extrovert, and Johnny introvert. That would probably be sort of quite right, wouldn't it? And I suppose it's affecting you both in different ways.
Wouldn't argue, really.
Yeah, I mean, are you now more of an extrovert? Are you missing people, Johnny?
Yeah, it definitely does have that effect, doesn't it? It's I think the thing I long for is that sunny afternoon, standing outside the sun and 13 and having a chat with friends.
So does that surprise you, Johnny? Because a lot of the people we spoke to would describe themselves as introverts, but they've found that they've missed people more than they thought they would.
Yeah, I think it does. I don't know if it comes with being curmudgeonly and over 50, but I assume my natural position would be, right, I'm staying in tonight and that's all good. Staying in for the next 3 months, fantastic. But no, I think missing people has been a really big part of this process. And
also, I think just to add a sort of a company twist on that, I think as owners and run, we run Wave and the various branches we have, I think you have to be a bit extrovert because I think the staff look to you to be extrovert.
Yeah.
They don't want to look at you as people that run the company as introverts as well. So we've had to, you know, it's really important that we kind of try and keep this up, keep talking to them, keep pumping the company and, you know, getting out there as much as we can. You know, everyone's looking at you right now and saying, you know, what we're going to do next, where we're going to go as a company.
And so
I think being an introvert is not a good thing right now if you own and run a company. I think you have to kind of reassure them and do your best to make sure that we are extrovert enough to make sure that we get work in.
Yeah.
Are you both mask wearers?
Ooh. Well, I did. When I read about a virus in January that could transmit when you didn't know that you had it, I actually looked on my Amazon purchase history and it was about January the 28th that I bought 100 pack of surgical face masks. But they still sit there. I've given a few to the kids to wear for fun, but no, generally no.
So do you not see many people out wearing them, or is it? It's interesting. I think in London they're worn more than when we talk to people outside London. I think.
I ran down the seafront this morning at about 10 o'clock, and I probably passed about a good few hundred people, and maybe three of them were wearing masks.
Warren, are you wearing a mask when you're going to the supermarket?
Not at the moment. On the back of Johnny's mask buying, I've had to apologise to Johnny on live on air. Early days, Johnny bought some masks and I took the mickey out of him before we realised how bad this virus was. And Johnny said to me, "You mad? This really is a bad virus that's going to shut us all down and all the rest of it." And I laughed and said, "Don't be silly. Johnny, I want to apologise now. You were completely right."
Good to clear that up.
Yeah, good. Well, clear it up. No, cheers, son.
If you could choose one person to take charge of the pandemic, it's either Donald Trump or Dominic Cummings.
Wow.
What's the right answer there? Dominic Cummings, in our golf circles, there's a new golf shop based on him. It's the long drive out of bounds. That's the Dominic Cummings, as we call it now. Well, neither, of course. I don't know. I don't know what to say there.
We have to take an answer.
Well,
it's probably got to be Cummings, because I reckon he will be replaced at some point soon, and then hopefully someone.
I can't say Trump whatsoever, so it has to be Cummings. As much as that hurts.
So, when was the last time either of you wore trousers that didn't have an elasticated waistband?
For the entirety of lockdown, I've not worn long trousers. The weather's been fantastic, and I've been out and about in the house.
Yeah, I've got to go a bit further back than that. But just before the lockdown, I broke my collarbone skiing, and I couldn't do a button up, and so I think I've got to go back to before Christmas. It was the last time up a pair of trousers with a tight waist.
Ahead on that leaderboard, then.
Have you done any DIY whilst you've been in lockdown?
None whatsoever, and I'm really glad to say. Because you can't really, I haven't been buying any DIY. I mean, everywhere's shut. I suppose you get stuff online, but no, the idea of, I'm really bad at DIY anyway.
So you haven't decided to build a log store or anything like that?
No. Well, the reason you say that is because I tried that three or four years ago and I sent you pictures. I spent an absolute fortune on timber, and at the end of it, I basically built a pallet, which you can get for free, and it cost me about 60 quid. I've even built the sides, and I was completely lambasted by the missus. No, I haven't. In fact, that ended up on the fire, which was ironic, because it was supposed to be a log store. The log store ended up on the fire.
Are you another chainsaw owner, Warren?
I do have a chainsaw.
Yeah.
No, I've only used it once, though. There's a guy that comes around that helps me with all my trees. He uses it, but I bought a chainsaw. The guy that came around said, "Oh my God, you're mental. Have you got the like Kevlar trousers, the gloves, the face helmet?" I said, "No, of course not. I've just got a chainsaw." So I'll tell you a story about my mate who climbed up a tree. The teeth bit into the tree. The whole thing kicked back and sliced half his head off and he died.
Oh my God.
You're joking, aren't you? He goes, "Yeah, they're really, really, really dangerous. Don't use a chainsaw unless you've got all the gear and you're completely au fait with them." And so I haven't touched it. I'm too scared to touch it. So, no.
I've never had one, but I could have told you they're dangerous if you'd have spoke to me, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
AB, have you done any DIY?
Well, we moved into our house about 9 years ago, and the first day was the day I was banned from DIY because at about 3 a.m, this 4-foot mirror that I'd hung in the hallway fell on the floor, And we woke up to the sound of breaking glass and the alarm going off, because we slept with the alarm downstairs. And we thought that it was the squatters coming back who had been evicted the day before, because we spent 3 months renovating a house. And the week before Christmas, the night before we were due to move in, there were squatters there the following morning. And the builders kind of left them in no uncertain terms that they should leave. So anyway, I was banned from DIY. But yeah, if you can't find someone to help you, I was actually screwing the front door in this morning because it doesn't close properly. So I've been forced to do DIY, and sort of starting to think I can probably do it. I'm not too bad at it. But yeah, there's been a 9-year hiatus. So yeah, I'm getting into DIY. Got a lot to learn.
So what's the thing that you're most looking forward to when all of the restrictions are over?
Faces. Oh, I want to see faces.
Faces.
Show me the face.
Yeah, sunny Soho pub, faces.
Shaking hands.
I've gone around to see my mum and dad a couple of times. I have played a couple of games of golf with one mate. But you just don't see any faces stuck at home. You really miss a face.
Yeah, my mum turned 80 6 weeks ago, and you know, haven't seen her. That would be a good visit.
So have either of you baked any sourdough since you've been at home? Warren, I'm guessing a no. I'm putting you down as a no already.
Maybe you can help answer this, Dave. Does sourdough require yeast?
Sourdough, no yeast.
Because we've been trying to bake bread, but so far, still, every single week, we do the weekly shop, no yeast in the supermarket at all.
You don't need
yeast. For like weeks on end.
No.
Give us the recipe. How do you bake sourdough?
Well, I can put you onto my sourdough guy, which is Paul Watts has put me on it. So, Johnny, I'm sure you've done loads of stuff with Paul. And he's the sort of Jedi master of that. So I could hook you up.
Oh, wow. I need to ask him. My bread making attempts are completely risible. And I've been, I got a Morphy Richards fast bake, which is the easiest thing. I read all the reviews, and you just put the ingredients in and out comes a bit of bread. Haven't tried the sourdough, but pretty much every single one has been like a flat load.
Joe Wicks, as part of his kind of bake yourself a breakfast thing, you can make sort of bread using yogurt. Chuck some of that in with some flour and stuff. And that's.
Have you tried that?
We did try that. Yeah, it was not bad. Not bad. So, yeah, we can. So, I don't think that really counts as bread. I think it was called the Joe Wicks Breakfast Pizza. So, yeah. Yeah, but that's if you like pizza with breakfast with spinach and things like that on it, which is, you know.
Yeah.
We gave it a go. It was all right.
Name an ad that you've seen in this period.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Good or bad?
Could be either. It doesn't have to be one of those during these tough times or in times like these. You know, it can be anything.
Well, if it's an ad for 64 Music, our music company, they've done a brilliant kind of mass ensemble of loads of their artists all gathering together to play together for a Primal Scream song. So right. That's worth looking at if you dig out 64 Music's website. So if that counts as an ad, which sort of does.
That counts. We make the rules. Dave?
I think we can take that.
We'll take it.
What about, does it have to be singing ad? Because the only ad I can really think of that was most memorable was the Mark Denton ad on this podcast.
So you both picked one that you're intimately associated with.
Yeah.
Have you? Is there anything produced that you've liked?
You can say
no. I know it obviously makes it much tougher.
Do you know, I don't watch a lot of telly in the day normally, but if I did, nothing has struck me as a kind of a brilliant ad made in the lockdown yet. I may well be wrong.
Cheers, Johnny.
Cheers, guys.